Good morning, everyone. In the respect for everyone's time, we'll start on time. I call the meeting of the TMCC Presidential Search Committee to order, and I would ask Angela to please take roll.
Chair Del Carlo.
I'm here.
Vice Chair Arriscada. Regent Brooks.
Here.
Regent Brown.
Here.
Regent Downs.
Here.
And the advisory committee, Mr. Adams. Ms. Allen.
Here.
Ms. Androli.
Andriola.
Ms. Beatry. Dr. Doe. Ms. Duarte. Ms. Elliott. Dr. Ellsworth Baker.
Here.
Mr. Estepona.
Here.
Here.
Mr. Hughes.
Present.
Ms. Labario Gutierrez.
Present.
Mr. Madol.
Here.
Mr. Martinez.
Here.
Mr. Meisner.
Here.
Mr. Newt.
Here.
Ms. Ortho Clark.
Here.
Ms. Reynosa Gomez.
Here.
Dr. Ruff.
Here.
Ms. Studebaker.
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Thank you, Angela. And if everybody would please stand, I'll ask Regent Brooks, he was in the military, to please lead us in the pledge. Before beginning, we take a moment to recognize here that in Nevada we stand on the land of the Washishu, the Washoe, the Numu, the Northern Paiute, the Nui, the Western Shoshone, and Nuwu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues into today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations of Nevada. And with that, we'll go to agenda item number one for public comment. Public comment will be taken during this agenda item. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this item until the matter is included on an agenda, which would be taken later. Comments will be limited to 2 minutes, 2 minutes per person. Persons making comment are asked to begin by stating their name for the record and to spell their last name. And with that, we will go to Great Basin College. Is there any public comment at Great Basin College? Are they part of this?
No.
There's no satellite campuses today. How about the system office? Just here. Okay. Didn't know that. Okay. So is there any public comment here at TMCC? Okay. And with that, we do have public comment possibly online. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 928-4944-5069 and passcode 555555. So is there any public comment on the phone?
There are no callers at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. And with that, I forgot to recognize our regents that aren't on the committee but are watching on Zoom. So I see Regent Donald McMichael, I see Regent Patrick Boylan, and I see our chair, Amy Carvalho. Is there any other regents on Zoom?
Laura Perkins here. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Okay, that's Regent Laura Perkins. So thank you, four of you, for being on today. So with that, we'll go to item number two, This is an information-only item. First of all, I am Carol Del Carlo, the chair of this committee, and I warmly welcome you to cold northern Nevada before the storm's coming in tonight at 10, so we really are dodging a bullet today. And I just want to make a few brief remarks. I've always felt, being a regent, that the most important job we have is to choose our leaders. I take this duty sacred, and it is just so important. And I have been on, this will be my 13th search since I've been a regent, including chairing the search, Chancellor Search Committee, many president searches, and also our internal auditor. And, oh, I'm so glad Joe's able to come, too. Good. And this is a very special institution. I know CSN is also has a search with Regent Brown heading that, and that is our largest institution in the state. But TMCC is our largest community college that covers the north. And they have robust programs. The community college bill came about in 1971, and I have seen nothing but growth at this school. About 20 years ago, I actually took some classes here for fun, and it's just a great campus, and they do great work for our community. Their main, as we most of us know, is workforce development. That's the heart and soul of a community college. When I ran in 2016, I always thought that people in America got the wrong message that everybody had to go to a four-year college, and that is so not true. But everybody could benefit going to community college with all the programs. So I have spent my 8 years as a regent. My heart is in the community colleges, and I'm very active with the Association of Community Colleges Trustees, and they'll even be here today for a presentation. But I'm so happy to have our advisory members here today, and with that, I would like to start. I'll start with you, Craig, on your side. If you would just say who you are and who you represent and why you wanted to serve on this committee. Thank
sure,
you.
I'm Craig Madole. I'm the CEO of the Nevada chapter of the Associated General Contractors, and I look forward to serving on this because I think that the community college is a huge part of our employee pipeline and a lot of the programs and things they do for veterans and through industry training is very important to our industry.
I'm Edward Estepona with the Estepona Group. Currently serve also as a Workforce Governors Board member. I'm joining this group because I believe that the community colleges are actually the gateway to workforce, and because from it, it starts with a journey that at the end of the day, you could think about going to four-year university, or you may not. You may choose to go through certifications or other routes. It's just the beginning place for, I think, students to go to, and I think we need to remove that misnomer that I think community college are second citizens, but rather they're actually the first we should go to first. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Julie Ellsworth-Baker. I'm the Dean of Life Sciences, Allied Health, and Public Safety here at TMCC. I have been at TMCC for 22 years as faculty, chair, and dean. I care deeply about this institution. I've been a resident of Northern Nevada for 30 years. I'm a graduate of UNR. I see all the great connections that we have and the pivotal place we play, the pivotal role we play in the community. Thank you.
Good morning, Ginger Doe. I am biology faculty and the faculty senate chair at Truckee Meadows Community College. And I'm excited to be on this committee because I'm excited to see TMCC continue to be active in the community and acting as a first choice for students as opposed to that second or third choice for students so that we can continue to lead. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for inviting me to serve. Super excited. My name's Tina Ruff. I'm a former athletics director here at TMCC. I serve as a major gifts officer at Renown Health, and those partnerships with our major health system, largest health system here in Northern Nevada, is important, especially with nursing and the different degree programs that you offer. TMCC also holds a dear place in my heart for starting the athletics program here in the time that I was here. So thanks, Carol.
Good morning. My name is Haley Orthel-Clark. I am a psychology professor here at TMCC. I represent academic faculty. I am serving on this committee because I was honored to be nominated by my peers, and I care deeply about the future of not only our workforce development programs, but also our transfer academic programs.
Thank you. Some of them tap and some of them just turn on when you talk, so my apology. Juana Reynosa Gomez, pronouns she, her, ella. I serve as the Program Director of Equity, Inclusion, and Sustainability, Chief Diversity Officer for TMCC. I've worked with NCHIEF for 20 years, three here at Truckee Meadows, and we are a Hispanic-serving institution, and I do hold that very dearly, the designation in serving our students, and I oversee many of the committees that our faculty and staff are part of, oftentimes the underrepresented, and so I'm here to hopefully give a voice to their voice. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Mindy Elliott. I'm Senior Vice President with Flynn Judici Government Affairs. I was president of the foundation in 1997 and have been involved on the campus. Attended school here in 1983, I believe, with Dr. Chisholm and took a humanities class. The campus is just incredible, and the expansion that I've seen over the years is amazing. And to identify the leader that will continue to grow this campus is important to me and to my clients. A lot of them are vested in what happens here at Truckee Meadows and the robust campus activity that is happening here. We want to see it continue to grow, and so I'm grateful that I was asked to serve on this as an advisory capacity. So thank you very much.
I know you're not on the committee or anything, but please introduce yourself, Chancellor.
Great. Good morning. For the record, Patty Charlton, Chancellor of the Nevada System of Higher Education. I just want to thank you all for your time, your participation on what is, I think, truly the most important process that we undertake. And so looking forward to the board's leadership, and thank you so much for your service as well. You have a lot going on, all of you do, so thank you so much.
Good morning, Carrie Nikolajewski, Chief of Staff to the Board of Regents. I am pleased to be here supporting the committee and the Board of Regents throughout the search process. Thank you for your participation.
Morning, Chris Nielsen, I'm Special Counsel and happy to be here. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to TMCC, those of you that are not normally here at 8 a.m. on a Wednesday. I'm Yvonne Allen, the Executive Director for Student Life here at TMCC. I'm very excited to represent the administrative faculty and make sure that our voices are being heard on the advisory committee as well. I'm excited to be a part of the search process as we look for someone who really is a champion for Nevada, for Northern Nevada, and for TMCC.
Good morning. My name is Claire Andriola. I'm a Washoe County Commissioner for District 4. Like many have also shared the experience of attending TMCC, I too am honored to share that I experienced it a few years ago. and went on, obviously, I graduated from UNR with attending several years at UNR with a couple degrees. So I value education, but I also spent years in a career dedicated to workforce development. And I think, quite frankly, I'm honored to be a part of this. I've been involved with the campus in various aspects, but really I think what is exciting is seeing how much we've grown, seeing the nimbleness of the community college to address future career options and a wide breadth of that. And I think really the fact that community is in the title speaks volumes. And so I'm here to support big shoes, I think, to fill with Dr. Hillerson. I was just sharing with my colleague over here that's my new friend that it's really been amazing to see the growth and to see the success. I, too, share the chair's commitment that the community college does have a place, and it really is about options. And having one size fits all is not always what works. And so having these new wonderful attendees and students explore what might be their future right here at the community college is something that I just value more than I can share. So, and I loved, I'll talk to you later about my experience here. I still remember the teacher's name, the professor's name, and actually the class, and I'm better at math because of it. So I really am. I wish you could have taught all my math classes. Anyway, thank you for the opportunity.
Hello, everyone. My name is Emery Betre, and I am a senator here at the Student Government Association here at TMTC. I serve on behalf of the SGA, and also my purpose here is to serve the students and represent them. Not only am I honored to be here, but I'm honored to serve and look for not just a leader, but someone that can connect with the students, which is very important here. You know, TMTC is all about community, and we need someone that can continue to enhance that community, build even more, and also build more of a connection with the students. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Estela Gutierrez, and I've been at the campus for almost 33 years, and I love TMCC. I think that I'm very grateful that I found my purpose early on in my career, just because I went to a community college, and I know the importance of a community college and what it does in the lives for many. I also love the fact that even though I've been here for a long time, it's great to see students that now have families that are in the community and just see them blossom and be part of this community. So welcome to TMCC, and it's so important for me to be here just because I think we're in a crossroad, and I think that as far as an institution, when it comes to stats and where we're at TMCC, I'm so proud where we're at. Not only are we an HSI, but we have great graduation rates. There's just so many good things here at TMCC. First of all, thank you so much for being here and for allowing us to be here. Thank you so much.
Good morning. My name is David Meisner. I'm a classified employee here. I've been involved here and working here for 26 years. I've watched it grow. I've watched it mold. I'm representing the classified employees, but I have a passion for the community college. I have watched this place retrain displaced homemakers, crushed truck drivers, underprivileged students. I've watched it put a spark and a hope in the eyes of people who didn't have it before. So I'm just pleased and honored to be able to be on this committee and hopefully select a president that can drag us into the future. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Jim New, and I've been at TMCC since 1998 in a large variety of roles here at the college. I'm fortunate in that I get to close out my career in higher education with what I consider to be probably not only the most challenging but also the most rewarding position I've held, and that's as the president of the Nevada Faculty Alliance, both at the state, but I'm also the chapter president here at TMCC, and it has been great to be able to reach out to the faculty to get their input. And so based on that input, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to Chair Carvalho and to Chancellor Charlton for their meetings with the faculty a few weeks ago. The faculty came away from the meetings really feeling that they had been heard and are appreciative of the response that they've received from you. And also to the rest of the regions, because I know there are two other national searches occurring right now, and that is a very, very heavy lift, and we appreciate your willingness to do that on our behalf, and we'll make a great decision for the future leader of TMCC. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Miguel Martinez. I'm a Reno City Council member representing Ward 3. I have very intricate relationship with TMCC, a long history. I started my college education here. I got my associates and transferred out to UNR, but I also had my first professional career job at TMCC. So I worked here from 2016 till the beginning of this year, basically. So happy to have been part of that journey and appreciative of the opportunity to be part of this search and help bring a leader that will fill those big shoes that Dr. Hilgersim is going to leave behind, and making sure that we have somebody that carries us into the future. So really appreciative of the Regents and having the opportunity to have such a diverse and engaged committee that will help us figure that out. Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to TMCC. My name is Andy Hughes. I'm the Executive Director of Admissions and Enrollment Services. Honored to serve this great college and our community. I represent administrative faculty and look forward to finding the next leader to help us continue our good work for this college and for our students. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Kim Studebaker. I'm the Chief Human Resources Officer for TMCC. I've been in human resources for 36 years and here at TMCC for 8 years. I'm proud and honored to be on this committee representing as the Affirmative Action Officer in an ex officio capacity. We have the best staff and faculty, I think, in Northern Nevada for sure, and I'm very proud to be associated with the dedication that they serve to our students. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And I was happy to hear why you wanted to be on the committee and what your purpose was. And knowing it was also very positive, and I appreciate you, Jim New, saying how the chair and the chancellor listened. And it is a very... And Regent Downs, yes, thank you, Vice Chair Downs, because we do practice shared governance here at NCHE, and this system really works. There's a lot of people involved in these committees, and as you stated, we have three committees going right now, national searches for chancellor, permanent position, the president of College of Southern Nevada, and this one. So in my time, we've never had three at once. It's a heavy lift, and I want to thank Carrie Nikolajewski and Winter and Angela, because it's a lot on your plate. But we'll get through it. And I just so everyone knows, there's 20 members on the advisory committee. 13 of them are prescribed who they need to be, and the TMCC folks pick those people. And the other seven are picked by myself, and I didn't even know all of them, but I have to say some of you had some big campaigners or whatever, because I got some names multiple times, and which is great, and I love the reason, and I do want to do a shout-out to Mindy Elliott. I asked her to be on this committee because in 2016 she called me up and said, Carol, I got a great job for you. And I go, what's that, Mindy? She goes, Board of Regents. So I thank Mindy for me being here today. So with that, we'll go on to item number three. It's also an information-only item, and I'll turn it over to our special counsel to the Board of Regents, Chris Nielsen, for open meeting law.
Great. Thank you, Chair. For the record, Chris Nielsen, special counsel to the board. I'm here. I'm going to give you a brief overview of the open meeting law rules. Many of you are familiar with these rules, serving on government or on public bodies over the years, and some of you may not. And so I think it's always a little bit of a refresher course. The open meeting law generally is a body of law codified by Chapter 241 in the Nevada Revised Statutes. The fundamental purpose of the open meeting law is to promote open and transparent government. This purpose is not only for the actions and decisions made by a public body, but just to ensure that those decisions are made in an open and transparent process, including the accompanying material, before the deliberations themselves begin. The enforcement of the open meeting law is solely within the jurisdiction of the Attorney General. If there are concerns about a practice of a public body, the AG's office may investigate, and ultimately, if they decide that there is an infraction, They have certain tools, namely they can issue civil and criminal penalties in addition to rescinding an action taken by a public body. So there's really three different ways to address violations. It's important to know how open meeting law is applied to public bodies. It not only constitutes to elected bodies such as the Board of Regents, but also subcommittees and advisory committees created by the public body. The key is whether taxpayer resources are used to fund the work of that entity. So consequently, this TMCC Presidential Search Committee meeting is open to the subject to the open meeting law. So what defines a meeting of the committee? A meeting is defined as a gathering of the members of the public body where a quorum is present. A quorum, just generally speaking, and there's some nuances to this, but a quorum is a fancy way of saying that the meeting has a majority of the members present. An issue often comes up of what constitutes a quorum is when members are outside of the traditional meeting place such as this. It's called what is a walking quorum. A walking quorum typically occurs unintentionally. It's where there's a series of gatherings, you know, during break, via email, outside of the meeting, texting, all that sort of thing, where you can actually have an effective quorum present outside of a traditional meeting space. And those can turn ultimately into open meeting law violations because the quorum rules can apply. So it's important to keep that rule in the back of your mind as we go through up today the search process and the meeting today. I just caution you, I think the safest advice would be to just any discussion related to today. We have search firms on the agenda. As we get farther along in the process, we'll have candidates, et cetera. Just keep those discussions limited to when we're actually here in the context of an in-person meeting. Deliberation is also a term of art within the open meeting law rules. It's defined as, quote, to examine, weigh, reflect upon the reasons for or against the action. The term includes, without limitation, collective discussion and the collective acquisition or exchange of facts preliminary to the ultimate decision. As a rule of thumb, I would say just don't talk about the issues that come up outside of the traditional meeting place, and certainly don't deliberate. And save your questions and comments for when we have go throughout our agenda today. While less of a concern to you, but certainly a big part of the open meeting law are the noticing requirements for public meetings. Staff typically takes care of these things in conjunction with legal staff. For example, all meetings must be publicly noticed at least three working days before a meeting is held. The meeting materials themselves must be made, once they're made available to the committee members, they must be made available to the public. Here at the Board of Regents, we post everything online and try to make it as transparent as possible. Looking at today's agenda, you'll notice that some items are noted as information only, some are noted as for action or for possible action. And I think that it kind of goes without saying that items that are for information only, the chair won't entertain any motions. It speaks for itself. This is an informational item. Some items today will be for action only. For example, the selection of a search committee, and I believe that the chair will ultimately entertain an action to select a search committee. The bottom line, all these rules are designed to give notice to the public and to give the public as much notice and input or the possibility for input as possible. Another critically important aspect of open meeting law rules is the public comment period. We had one just a little while ago. Every public meeting subject to the open meeting law has to have at least two public comment periods. There's different ways of doing it. But the most common way is the way we're doing it here today is we have a public comment in the beginning and then a public comment at the end. And the chair always has the option to take public comment on an agenda by agenda item basis, but typically we just go with the public comment period in the beginning and at the end. This public comment period is a chance for the committee members and advisory members to listen to comments from the public, typically what are related to your action items here today. You're required to listen, but there really shouldn't be any discussion on during public comment. It's just a chance for the public to make their comments and be heard. The final important thing is that public bodies can oftentimes stray from the agenda. One of the kind of hallmarks of the during the meeting itself of the open meeting laws is like kind of sticking to the agenda item, and I'll be here to just make sure that we stay on track with the agenda items. There's for example, if something new comes up, we have a place for new business for this committee, and that would be the time to, you know, make a comment about something that's not on today's agenda that you'd like, you may like to see at a future agenda, but that item can't be discussed and deliberated. Having kind of gone over that, Chair, I'd be happy to answer questions, but that's kind of the open meeting law in a nutshell.
Thank you, Chris, and committee members. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. Hearing none, we'll go on to item number 4, which is search firm presentations, and this is information only item. And I just want to preface this by saying that we started this process. Of course, we heard there was a listening session here on the campus. Then on October 18th, the full board met in a special meeting, and the recommendation was that the campus wanted a national search, and the search firm had to have expertise in higher education. So an RFP was sent out. 14 respondents answered the call, and myself, the chancellor, and our chief of staff had a Zoom call, and we reviewed all 14 of them together. But we actually had identified our top people, and we all had the same people, so we narrowed that down to 3, from 14 to 3, and those are the presentations you're going to hear today. And I just want to note that in the RFP, we said that to be in person would be preferable, but it wasn't required, and so we do have one of our search firms is going to do this on Zoom online, and I just want to make sure that that doesn't prejudice anyone because they're not here in person. And there's always very valid reasons why, and I know we do have a regent that's on Zoom himself that's always wanting us to do that things that way. Zoom works great, but I'm a very relational person, and I much prefer to be in person so I can read your face and have a sidebar with you, et cetera. So, but I just want everybody to know that don't hold it against anybody for being online for their presentation today. And with that, the presentations are 20 minutes. Everyone was given the same instructions on how the format should be, and they each got 20 minutes. And if you have questions, we would like for you to write them down. We don't want you to interrupt the speaker, so just write your questions down at the end of their 20 minutes. And they may finish a little early, but they will be held to 20 minutes. Then we'll have a 15-minute question and answer session, and that's when you ask your questions, okay? So with that, the order was determined by putting the names in a hat and drawing the names. I wasn't there for that, but I trust that went well. And so the first firm to present will be AGB Search. And with that, we have Fred Moore and Dr. Jean Jacobs. Okay, are they here? I know they're here. Oh, they're outside, okay. Okay. No, I thought, wait a minute, I thought we were having one online.
Oh, yeah, could you?
Found out there's some issue with the network and Apple devices. I get for some reason.
Oh, okay. And just while we're waiting for them to come, if you're having trouble getting online, even though we have the instructions here, just kind of raise your hand or let our chief of staff know. We have system computing service here. They're in the black and you black shirts with SCS on them, and they will come quietly to your seat and help you get online if you need it. I guess we're having trouble with Apple products because I love Apple. So I'm having trouble.
Yeah.
you want to connect to Edge Room, feel free.
Nope, I'm connected. Automatic. Okay.
Perfect.
Bada bing, bada boom.
It's great.
I'm testing it for a second. I even wrote him a message about it. I said, I'm the only one. I got hooked up. Yeah, right here.
Okay, without any further ado, I present AGB Search with Fred Moore and Dr. Gene Jacobs. And the floor is yours for the next 20 minutes. Plus.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks for the opportunity to present to this august group on a critically important project about which you're undertaking in the very soon, and that is searching for a new president. So we're pleased to be here. My name is Fred Moore. I'm a senior executive search consultant with AGB Search, and my partner will introduce herself.
Good morning. I'm Jean Jacobs, and I am a search consultant with AGB Search. Good to see all of you.
More about us in just a couple of moments. A little bit of history on our firm. We know that you've had our presentation in advance, so I'll just make summary comments here. We were formed in 2010. We are a subsidiary of the Association of Governing Boards, which has been in existence for 100 years. Its core purpose is to advance the best practice in board governance, and we operate all across the country, and including the U.S. territories that you see there. We've been recognized by Hunt Scanlon as one of the top 50 executive search firms for 2024, and we're proud of that. And you can see our other association memberships. Our niche is higher education, and we bring a lot of expertise to bear. 90% of our senior consultants are former presidents or senior executives of colleges and universities. So we know higher ed very, very well. Gene?
Okay, at this time we're going to formally introduce ourselves, and actually I'm going to ask my colleague Fred Moore to step forward and introduce himself first.
Okay. Well, you can see my information there, and you can see my picture. I was a college president for 22 years in the state of Iowa, and before that I was a VP in North Carolina. I have considerable search experience joining the firm 7.5 years ago. I've done nearly 60 searches, actually completed the 60th this week, and 16 of those have been for presidents. Gene?
Thank you very much. And, of course, I'm Gene Jacobs. I joined the firm in 2021. Prior to that, I served as the president of the Homestead campus at Miami-Dade College. I've also served as the vice president for instruction at Sinclair Community College. But all told, I have 42 years of experience in community and state colleges. I've served on a number of national boards. And since joining AGB, I've conducted more than 20 searches and 11 of those searches for presidents and chancellors.
That's me.
Okay. So as we talk about AGB since its founding, we've conducted over 360 presidential searches, and we've achieved a 95% successful placement rate overall. We work very closely with all of our clients, and we do conduct a survey because we want to know how satisfied our clients are with our services. So as you can see, if you look at the data, 95% of the respondents rate their experience with AGB overall as excellent or very good. 97% of the respondents rate their our client pools as excellent or very good. And 92% of our respondents rate our search process as excellent or very good. We do work very well with community colleges across the nation, and we know how important this work is. This represents institutions for which we have completed and placed presidents and chancellors in community colleges. And I might add that we work with various types of community colleges. And we do have a number of searches underway for presidents and chancellors that are not reflected on this list. We at AGB find that diversity, equity, and inclusion are core to our beliefs.
and we are committed to that in our leadership process. And that is also evidenced by our outcomes. If you look, 63% of our permanent appointments and 47% of our appointments for presidents are women and or those from underrepresented groups. I might also add that our firm is very, very diverse. 7 of the 9 principals are women, 50% of the consultants are women, and 35% of the search consultants are from underrepresented groups. When we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, at the firm we weave that through our entire search processes. We make sure that we are very careful in building our candidate pools, and it's important for us, because we are such a diverse team, to recruit actively diverse candidates into the pool. But we also use other measures to ensure that we're using an equitable approach to building our pools. I would also say that in addition to the work that we do as a firm and our diversity within the firm to recruit candidates, we publish in national publications that attract diverse candidates. In addition to that, in this particular case, we would work with the search chair to look at the screening and to ensure that the same criteria is used with all candidates who would be moving forward in the process. We do offer as an additional service an anti-bias workshop. It is an add-on service. But we find that this service is very important because certainly it does reinforce safeguards and it does ensure an inclusive process as you go through the search. Fred?
Okay. So we're going to spend a few minutes talking about our search process and strategy. And as you can see, the headline there is we pride ourselves on developing a high-quality pool using a very customized approach. And it starts with an extensive effort to understand all the nuances that will give rise to the priorities, the characteristics that you're looking for in your next president. We followed very carefully the RFQ documents that were provided to us, and that guidance was most helpful. We understand that you're planning to do a survey. We would raise a question as to whether you might be open to listening sessions with other constituent groups. Our firm has found that to be a useful process, but of course the call is yours in terms of how you'd like to start off, whether you want to use the survey exclusively or incorporate some listening sessions with constituents. And I'll tell you a quick story about that. As you know, I have roots in Iowa, and I was doing 2 searches in Iowa simultaneously, and I had a candidate read the search profiles from 2 similar institutions. And his comment to me was, "Well, these 2 institutions are similar." I said, "Yeah, they are." And he said, "But the profiles don't read the same way." I said, "No, of course not. Because even though they're similar in a general sense, we make an effort to understand those nuances to which I referred to earlier. So the profiles don't read the same. It's not a cookie-cutter approach." And that really results in a profile that guides the entire search process. We refer to it as our North Star. It is the definitive marketing document in the search. And if we're lucky enough to be retained, we'll have an opportunity to talk about that in greater detail. We recruit aggressively, both active and passive candidates, using a lot of different channels. So for those of you, I'm not here to insult anyone's intelligence, but someone might ask, what's a passive candidate? A passive candidate is someone who is sitting at their desk who hasn't thought about making a job change, or, with all due respect, may not even know about your institution. But through a variety of techniques that we use to reach out to those passive candidates, we've been quite successful over the years in unearthing them and stimulating their interest in having them ultimately become candidates. So it's about active candidates and passive candidates. It is nationwide. with direct outreach to prospects, a very aggressive advertising strategy, which you would approve, of course, nominations, which are incredibly important in the search process, our own networks. Let me hasten to add, we do not recycle candidates from searches that we've done before without thinking about whether there is a potential fit here. So it's not a core dump of candidates from previous searches at all. And we make very extensive use of LinkedIn Recruiter Pro, which has become a very useful tool for us, particularly with passive candidates, I might add. All that is driven by a proprietary database of 125,000 contacts. A little bit more about search process and strategy. And this first bullet here reminds me of when I was in your shoes when I was a president. And I used a variety of search firms, and there are many good search firms out there. There are competitors here today for whom we have great respect. But I landed on AGB Search, and once they did the first one, they became my go-to partner when I was president. And one of the reasons, among many, is that I just found over and over again a focus on a really close relationship with the client based on care, trust, respect, transparency, integrity, and what a critically important factor in these searches, confidentiality. If we're lucky enough to be retained, we will form a very close partnership with your search chair, and again, referring to the elements in the RFQ that were very helpful, which we would follow scrupulously. Provision of agendas and frequent communication and supporting materials to help make sure that that search chair has the materials that the person needs to carry out their responsibilities. We're scrupulous about due diligence. We begin really the vetting process with the initial call that we have with a candidate. Following that, as the search progresses, we make heavy use of Google and Internet searches, Nexus, CourtLink, social media checks, which are of increasing importance, as I'm sure you know, reference checks both on and off list, and background checks if you have us do those. Sometimes the client does the background check, but we're prepared to do so if necessary. And then finally, once the person is named, we're there for up to a year at no additional cost to engage in transition planning with you and the new president as you see fit. That can take many forms, and we can get into that in the Q&A if you wish. But it is critically important, as everyone in this room knows, that to get off to a great start. And that's the purpose of the transition planning. And we view that as a core competence. Here's our timeline. I know that you've had our presentation in advance, and so I won't go through all the steps here, but you can see laid out for you a process, again, that would follow the guidelines in the RFQ and would lead us to an appointment in late April to early May. So we can go back to the timeline slide if we wish. So, Gene?
Thank you very much, Fred. We would be committed to the success of your search for the next president. We understand how critically important it is to fill this position and fill it with a good leader. And at AGB, we do offer a guarantee in terms of our searches. So you'll notice as you look at this slide, first and foremost, if the search, AGB search, presents a candidate pool and the college does not make an offer to a candidate for any reason, AGB will continue the search for an additional 6 month period. Now, if a candidate is selected and voluntarily leaves the position or is terminated for cause, AGB following, within 1 year, AGB will provide an additional search service for a period of 6 months after the departure of the selected candidate. If we need to conduct a search, we will do so at no charge to the institution. However, of course, the institution would be responsible for any direct search charges, such as we think about advertising or travel or anything like that. But we do offer that guarantee to institutions, and we're more than willing to do excellent work for you.
So, to begin the wrap up here, we'll take a look at our fees. I know you've had an opportunity to look at the presentation in advance. We're proposing a fixed fee, a search fee of $75,000, with a client service and support fee of $7,500, as you see, for a grand total of $82,500. Now, let me say we recognize that we are not the least expensive option before you today. We understand that, and as I said, we respect our competitors. If the board wishes to discuss this slide or any other slide in the presentation, quite frankly, but particularly this one, we're happy to do so. Then we have expenses, which are passed on at cost. Travel, which is reimbursed at cost, and travel is only taken if approved by you all. An estimated advertising budget of $4,000, depending upon what outlets you select. And then if we do the background check, you see that it's estimated at $750 per candidate. It's based on a finalist pool of three. Sometimes we'll see two, sometimes we see four, rarely we see five, but that's the cost per candidate. And then optional services. We find that it's best if it's a partnership between us and the marketing team to complete the search profile. But if that is not an option, there is the possibility of working directly with a graphic designer that we have in-house, and you can see the estimated cost there of $2,500. We also offer anti-bias workshops, and you can see each of those three particular offerings quoted there. Sometimes clients feel they have this space covered with HR and other professionals in-house, but we are certainly prepared to conduct those workshops. I've seen them done several times, and they're very helpful, and I think an important part of the process. We also offer a management style inventory, Hogan assessments, which we can talk about in greater detail if you wish, which is a piece of the puzzle that perhaps you might administer to finalists to get a sense of how this person might show up for work. Of course, it's one piece of the puzzle. It's not dispositive. And then we also offer, unfortunately, this is something that is important in this day and time, a plagiarism check based on $300 per article. So we have finished 2 minutes early. We want to thank you for inviting us to spend some time with you today. And we want to thank you for your attention. And the floor is open for any questions you want to ask us.
Thank you very much. And we have now 15 minutes for questions and answers. So who's the brave one that's going to ask the first question? Oh, Craig Madol, you have the floor.
Good morning. This is Craig Madol for the record. In your presentation, you mentioned that you have other tools to ensure the equity of those in the pool. Can you give us some examples of what those tools may be?
You mean, I'm not sure that
It was Dr. Jacobs that mentioned some additional tools that you guys use to when you're vetting candidates to ensure the...
Yes.
The
equity piece.
I'll be happy to. So I mentioned earlier that we certainly advertise in national publications. But in addition to that, we'll be drafting assessment tools to ensure that candidates are evaluated using the same criteria. It is a draft,
And clearly it is up to, I think in this case, the search chair to determine whether or not that will be used in the process. But we would definitely want to make sure the same instrument is used to assess all candidates. In addition to that, we also draft interview questions. And all of this information comes specifically out of the leadership profile. That's why when my partner mentioned it is the North Star, it clearly is the North Star. It not only markets the position, but it guides the entire process. So we're going to make sure that we provide a set of questions and information so that the, in fact, and I believe based on your process, we would determine where that interview would happen, but certainly all of those questions would be used, the same questions with each and every candidate. That kind, that safeguards. In addition to that, as we go through the process, we do emphasize the fact that we know there may be biases in this process, but in order to stay true to what you're doing as a committee, you need to focus clearly on that profile. And importantly, those leadership attributes, qualities, and qualifications that you're looking for in your next president. So we're also ensuring that that occurs. And as my partner mentioned, a key piece of this, and it is connected, is confidentiality. You know, we want to ensure every step of the way that this is a confidential process up until the point at which it needs to be made public. So those are some of the tools and things that we will do, in fact, to ensure that there is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And as I also mentioned, and I will reinforce, given the diversity of our firm, we do have key contacts to ensure that we build that diverse pool for an institution.
Okay, next question. Mindy Elliott, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Mindy Elliott. I was interested in the recommendation. I'm not sure if it was Dr. Jacobs or...
It's okay, either one.
Mr. Moore, I'm
fine.
Not sure. But you talked about the listening sessions and where you have executed that type of strategy. What does that look like? And when you're doing the outreach to the various community, community groups, I'm assuming, so...
It is.
Thank you.
It's first of all, it's complementary to the survey. The reason that we, and again, it's your choice, but the reason that we typically do both is the survey will ask similar questions that we would ask in a listening session. The qualities, characteristics, skills, and attributes you want to see in your next president. What are the opportunities this person should think about seizing early on? What are some of the challenges that the person will confront? And the survey would also ask for nominations, and we get a lot of nominations that way. So why do we do both? And the listening sessions would have similar questions. It's because not everybody can attend a listening session if we offer them. Some people will write more on a survey than they will raise their hand and give voice to in a large group. And not everybody can make it to a listening session, so the survey is a good fallback. How many groups? Really, that's up to you. If you're interested in hearing more about that, we would be glad to submit a list of groups that we typically would have listening sessions with in a presidential search. And, of course, it would be up to you to decide on the final list. The listening sessions typically run about 50 minutes. They're really useful. We get a lot of good information. And when we sit down to write our part of the profile, we've got the survey results, and we've got the listening session information, and we've got our research, and it's all over our places of living as we bring it together to write our sections of the profile. Does that help? So again, it's not a mandate, but it has worked well in the past, and it would be up to you.
No, but I think it also provides some feedback as it relates to how that person interacts with groups outside of the educational domain. If you're talking about chambers and elected officials, yes. So on and so forth. I think that that's important for this individual.
Well said, and we find that clients will often involve groups external to the institution for that very reason, and we've done those kinds of sessions quite often. So thank you.
Okay, next question. Mr. New.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of questions. You mentioned that you do passive recruiting, which I assume is just advertising, and you accept applications that come in to you. Do you also go out and do headhunting? Do you have a pool of candidates who have been previous applicants to other positions? The second question that comes up is faculty regularly express concern that if you're running two simultaneous searches for similar colleges, let's say you're running one for San Diego and one for Reno, how do you ensure the people in Reno that you are really sending them the best candidates for their position?
Okay, so you want me to? Okay. So, yes, we will reach out to specific individuals that we are familiar with from previous searches or that our colleagues, we have about 50 consultants in the firm, would recommend to us. But I do want to stress that it has to be the right preliminary fit for us to do that. We're not going to take a list of 50 candidates from previous searches and send all of them a communication and say, are you interested? There has to be an assessment of whether there seems to be a match between the profile and the candidate's strengths and core competencies. So that was question number one. Does that respond? Okay. We're very careful about conflicts of interest if we're doing searches that could overlap. We don't have a search in this state currently, do we?
No.
We do not. So but let's say that happens. And let's say it would be unlikely that the firm would place both of us on both those searches to avoid the very scenario that you're talking about. But let's say in the rare case that it does happen, we're going to make sure that We're not going to put ourselves in the position of me, Fred Moore, or Gene Jacobs talking to a candidate about two institutions where we're the consultants. We just won't do that. So I hope that's responsive to your question. Does that help?
And if I could add, you know, we could keep going back to the profile, but the profile will be different for a given institution. And as we work with candidates and we aggressively recruit and we go after what we call passive candidates, those are those people who are not looking for a position. They may have been nominated. We may have gathered from another source they would be a good candidate. But as we talk to candidates, and we will do that, we're very high touch, we're going to share what specifically pertains to this institution. What's important to you? What are the priorities? What type of culture and what type of leader you're looking for? And that will be different from another institution. So those things we do, and as Fred said, we never would offer, you know, two institutions. Because it's important, as I said, this is a critical position for you. And we're looking for your president.
Okay, Mr. Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Andy Hughes for the record. Just a quick question, and first of all, thank you for your presentation today. Question about average tenure or time in position of the presidents that you've placed. I know you have a really high successful placement rate, but I'd like to know what the average
the retention rate.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so we used year 2020, and if we look at year 2020, in terms of placements of presidents, we have an 83.5 retention rate. If we use that same year,
and specifically look at community colleges, we have an 88% retention rate. Does that answer? Okay, thank you.
Carol.
Emery, did I say that right?
Yes, ma'am, Emery.
Emery.
Yes, for the record, Emery Betre, SGA Senator. I'm a little new to this, so
don't be.
So this is regarding you kind of like a little story from my understanding, saying that this wasn't a cookie cutter process, which I would assume so. You know, people and presidents come as they are. I kind of have a question regarding that. So in your presentation, you guys said that you would tailor the profile to guide the search process. I was kind of wondering of like how would you work with us to tailor the profile, and how does that process go with like the search process as well, and how would you guys ensure that this is like for our school, for our college?
Yeah, great question. So how do we go about tailoring the profile? We know that you're going to do a survey, so we're going to take a very close look at that survey. And we're gonna highlight the things that are really distinctive about your institution in drafting the profile based on the survey. If you go with listening sessions, we're gonna do the same thing. And we get a tremendous amount of content from both those vehicles for finding out more about your priorities that help us tailor the profile. We also do a lot of research. We already have done a considerable amount of research on you, TMCC, and that's helpful to us as well. So, we're just going to be very careful about word choice, language, what to emphasize. You know, you can't put every single thing in the profile, but the things that really matter that we hear about through the survey, through the listening sessions and our search that make you who you are, that's what's going to go into the profile to make it distinctive. So, does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Sure. Great question. Even though you were nervous, you didn't seem nervous.
Thank you. That was our student leader here at TMCC.
Oh, well, wonderful. It's great to see students here, and in almost all of our searches, students are part of the search process, and their voice is incredibly important. I've had so many times candidates turn and ask us, a student, what's it really like to be a student here? Because the rest of us think we know, but only the student knows what it's really like to be a student. So thank you.
We have time for one last question, and that would be Edward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Edward Spono for the record. I saw a $4,000 budget on the advertising. Can you tell me just what percentage of your candidates on average are coming from advertising versus what percentage are coming from just your internal networks that you're already working and using? Because $4,000 seems a little on the lean side when you're thinking national.
Do you want me to take it? It's an estimate, and often we find that these days with some inflation that sometimes it exceeds $4,000. On the other hand, I guess your point is $4,000 enough? If it's not, as we put together the advertising plan and thinking about your particular needs, we'll make a recommendation to go higher, but ultimately it will be your choice as to how much you want to invest. So it can run more than $4,000. On the other hand, our experience of late is that it often does cover the waterfront pretty well. As for the percentage of candidates who come from advertising and other means, I don't have that precise figure for you today, but I can tell you that there was a time when we didn't feel that advertising was bringing us as much, and that has changed some. And I will say to you that one of the best bargains out there, quite frankly, is LinkedIn. It costs $299 to put an ad on LinkedIn. And our data that we look at for frequency and so forth to assess that vehicle shows LinkedIn brings a tremendous response. So I know we're out of time. I hope that helps a little bit.
Thank you so much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Somebody have a question?
No. Well, it would be our privilege to work with you. We wish you well in your decision, whatever that turns out to be, and we wish you well in your search.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Okay. Our next presentation is going to be from ACCT, and for those of you who don't know, that stands for the Association of Community College Trustees Searches. And before we ask Julie and Deborah to come on, I think we have two disclosures, and I'll start with you, Vice Chair Downs.
Thank you, Chair Del Carlo. Let me get it up here. So pursuant to NRS Chapter 281A, I hereby disclose that I am a member of the Council of Finance Chairs for AGB. I have attended an ACCT conference and have applied unsuccessfully for a search conducted by Gold Hill Associates. Because the independence of judgment of a reasonable person would not be materially affected by my situation, I will vote when we get to the voting part.
Thank you. And I have a similar disclosure. I am on the executive board and the chair-elect of the Association of Community College Trustees, and I have no personal benefit or financial, no money, nothing, and I feel I can make an objective vote, and I will also be voting on this item. Thank you. And with that, I see Julie and Debbie on screen, so your time starts now. You have 20 minutes to present, and then we'll have 15 minutes of questions and answers. Thank you.
Outstanding. Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity. I'm Julie Golder. I'm the Vice President of Search Services for the Association of Community College Trustees. It is an honor to work on behalf of governing boards across the country and to work hard every day to make the lives of all students better. Debbie.
Thanks, Julie. I'm Debbie D. Thomas. I'm really happy to be here also. I am a retired CEO from a California community college, spent most of my career in the Riverside Community College District, and then retired as superintendent president of a single college district in Barstow, California. And I live now in Southern Highlands in Las Vegas, Nevada. Have been here since 2020, and I'm really committed to the state and to the leadership that we need for our colleges, especially our community colleges. So thank you, and we'll talk a little bit more as we go on through the search.
Next slide, please. ACCT has been in existence for decades, and because the most important decision any governing board will ever have to make is the selection of the CEO, there is a division dedicated exclusively to supporting CEO searches throughout the country. In a typical year, we support about 30 to 35 community and technical college searches throughout the country. We are deeply vested in the long-term success of your institution, and will work extraordinarily hard on your behalf to have a successful outcome, meaning someone who is committed to the college, the community, will move the needle and will make a long-term commitment.
And
Debbie, go ahead, please.
Yes, if I could just add one thing. As a search consultant, I have been working with ACCT since I retired for the past 8 years. And I have to say that when I am at a college doing a search, I feel fully supported by the ACCT full-time staff in all of the background work that needs to be done. They are very responsive to the college and to all of us as consultants working on behalf of the college.
Next slide, please. We're going to take a moment just to give you a little more information about our background. I have had the privilege of working exclusively on CEO searches for community and technical colleges. I am starting my 19th year, have led well over 100 searches.
And as I said, I've been working with ACCT for the past 8 years and have conducted searches in several states for the organization. And as a president of a multi-college district and then a single college district, of course, I was responsible for many searches during my career. Living in Las Vegas now in the Southern Highlands area, I have visited Reno many times. My niece was in a soccer tournament up there at the college, and then a friend of mine was writing a book, and I went up with her to do some research, and we spent a lot of time in Reno. I'm close enough that I will be there physically as often as I need to be there, and, of course, Julie will be too, because in today's age, everything's close with the airplanes and transportation the way that it is. But my husband is also a retired educator, but he is now working in the Green Valley School District in Las Vegas. And I can't tell you how much we're both committed to higher education for students. I was so excited to hear the comments from the faculty and staff and the student and community members who are on the committee, what you're looking for, how excited you are about the college, that you need somebody who's going to be committed to the continued growth. And many of you use the words continued because you're already doing so much and you're so proud of that. And that's what we want to make sure that candidates understand, all of those things that we heard today and all of the things that we'll hear as we go through the process. Next slide.
Again, are interviewing great firms today, but we do want to share what sets us apart. Again, our nonprofit mission-focused search process has a terrific reputation, outcome, and candidates feel comfortable applying to a search. One of those reasons is confidentiality. Read about a search just this morning that was upended because of a breach of confidentiality. We will hit this hard at every meeting, and few elements are more critical to a successful outcome. I also wanted to touch on our recruitment. Each and every search is highly customized depending on the needs of the institution at this moment in your history. We are flexible. And just as a side note, Debbie and I would be there in person as your search team at all meetings in order to fully develop relationships and trust. Within the confines of the room, we do encourage that committee meetings themselves are all in person whenever possible. Debbie, what would you like to highlight?
I would just like to highlight the process when background checks happen. I think ACCT does an awesome job on this, and I have actually helped conduct background searches sometimes in a process. And one of the outstanding things I think happens is, and I'll start this little thing by saying that it's difficult to get to the level of a president of a college without having upset some people in your past, okay? And sometimes that gets into the paper or social media. What we do in the background process is we find out all sides to the story. If we hear of an issue that's going on or that has happened in the past that the search committee needs to know about, then we will investigate further. If somebody mentions something in the background check, we will ask them for other people who might know something about that. And then we will make sure that the candidate's side to that story is also brought forward. So the ACCT team does an exhaustive job of finding out all of the information that the decision makers need to have when they make a decision on a candidate.
The search is far along. We have a release form that allows us to call anyone on and off the candidate's reference list. It's important to highlight that the majority of calls that we place are not on the candidate's reference list. So again, this highly confidential and sensitive information provides a broad perspective from different individuals at current and prior institutions in a wide range of positions. Next slide, please. We'd like to address our success rate, which we are extraordinarily proud of. One of the things I always like to share is that there are reasons for movement, for someone not to be in their current position, that may have nothing to do with their success, their accomplishment, their being the right match for the institution. One example I'd like to share is that within a state system, we placed a leader. That CEO was moved to a larger institution within 18 months because of their trajectory of success. So they moved along within 18 months, but it was a deliberate move within a state system and was a recognition of the leader's success. Next slide, please. Here are just some representative placements at large, diverse, complex institutions. Something that you heard about today that I wanted to point out is that at just about every one of these institutions, there was a survey to launch the search, and there were in-person listening sessions available for all constituents. One of the recommendations that we make a lot of institutions take us up on is the ability to host a day of public forums, different times, different locations, so that people have the opportunity to, one, contribute their input in person to help develop the critical presidential profile, but they can also ask questions about the search process itself. Candidates are confidential, process is transparent, and we like to create an in-person opportunity for everyone to ask questions and share their thoughts. Some individuals feel more comfortable in person, and others prefer the anonymity and flexibility of an online survey. Again, we are flexible in how your process is structured. The Nevada System of Higher Education has an excellent model in place. Debbie.
I have nothing to add to this slide, Julie. We can move.
Next slide. Debbie.
This slide, we really want to emphasize our commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And in doing even a presentation like this, I like to do quite a bit of research on the college itself, and was excited to see that your values mirror ACCT's values. Right on your website, you say, talk about your commitment to ethical practices and integrity, respect, compassion, and equality for all people, and embracing diversity and inclusion, which are exactly congruent with ACCT's values and our approach to our search process. We ensure diversity, equity, and inclusion through every step of the process, and of course we're very, very excited to see that your search committee demonstrates that you respect DEI and the shared governance process at your college, which I read some of your documents on your commitment to shared governance. That will be respected throughout the process. And as Julie said, we do this by ensuring at every step of the process that voices are heard. We do it in the forums. We do it in our search process meetings. I learned it as an instructor very early on that sometimes the best comments are made by people that you have to coax a little bit to make those comments. So we try to ensure that everyone is very, very comfortable expressing their opinions and understanding that their voice is valued, and the people that they are representing on this committee's voices are valued through their voice. One of the things that we also want encourage every district to do is some unconscious bias training in the process of a search. And it's so important. All of us have unconscious bias. That's why it's called unconscious. Sometimes we don't even realize it. And the training helps us to understand what those are. And the reason that it's so important to a search process is because until we understand that, we can't mitigate those unconscious biases. So if the district, I mean the system or the college that we're working with has that training, of course we respect that. If not, I've actually developed some training that I've used in other searches, and I'm happy to provide that or even work with the college to see if they want to add anything to the training that they already have. And then, of course, through the ensuring that we have a diverse pool, and I think Julie can talk some about the insurances of our diverse pool. Julie?
We work extraordinarily hard to actively recruit a highly competitive, diverse candidate pool based on the institution, based on where you are now and where you want to go. And that is why your profile is critical, that your commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion is interwoven throughout your profile. We work hard to make sure that language reflects your values. We work hard to ensure that appropriate questions that bring out demonstrated commitment for your candidates so that the entire committee gets to hear specific measurable examples of what your candidates have done to advance diversity, equity, and inclusion at their current and prior institutions. And then, of course, it is a reference question that we ask references to hear their thoughts and insight about what candidates have accomplished to move the needle.
Next slide. Our search process is we developed this based on the guidelines and the work plan that you had in your documents, and it's congruent with the best practices and with our search process plan at ACCT. As you can see, every step of the way, you've had our documents as stated before, so we aren't going to go through everything in detail, but we did want to touch just again on the profile development page and how we phase and how we ensure that all voices are heard in that stage through the forums and the surveys. And then we do that again in the finalist forums. After those forums, there are surveys and opportunities for input, so that the committee actually gets to consider a lot of information from their peers and community members. And then also in the recruitment phase, actually recruiting from a large and diverse candidate pool, a lot of one-on-one time with the candidates. It's as important to us that the candidate understands what they are applying for, as it is for the college to get the best candidate, because we want the person to stay. We want them to know exactly what's important to the college and make sure that it is what's important to them. TMCC has a fantastic program in the workforce area and in transfer and great community involvement. A person coming in needs to know all of that, because some colleges don't, and it's not their area of focus. We ensure confidentiality and adherence to the Open Meeting Act throughout the process, too. Julie?
And just to remind you, you have less than 3 minutes left.
Okay. Thank you. We can go to the next slide.
Again, we understand that this is your process. You are in the driver's seat. We provide recommendations on best practices. Next slide. RFQ clearly lays out the goal for the timeline. So based on what you shared, we provided these dates It is very clear, the process that has been laid out. We understand also the timelines are subject to change. If the candidate pool is not competitive, not diverse, you don't have ample choice. We ask for additional time. Again, it is very rare, but we are not afraid to say we need more time. So this is a proposed timeline. It is marked draft throughout because we understand that it is subject to change. Next slide. Again, as your nonprofit membership organization, we are committed to your long-term success. If the candidate leaves within 1 year, we redo the search at out-of-pocket costs. Because we do everything to ensure that this is the right match, that this person has been well vetted, well respected by the college during the public forums, that the committee has had an ample time to get to know the candidates, we are proud to say that this search guarantee does not have to kick in very often. Next slide, please. Search fees. Again, as a nonprofit, our search fee is $53,000 plus travel. Our proposal breaks down a lot of the detail. The only additional cost that institutions incur is if you have more than three candidates. This already covers background and reference checks on up to three finalists. There is an additional fee if there are more than that. Again, we are committed to keeping costs low for colleges and students. Next slide. There's our website, acctsearches.org, and final slide. We now know that you have an opportunity to ask questions and look forward to hearing your questions.
Perfect timing, thank you. And with that, we're going to go to 15 minutes of questions and answers, and after that, we'll take a 10-minute break. I think we need it. So who has the first question? And that is Haley. Go ahead.
Hi. For the record, this is Haley Orthel-Clark. Thank you for your presentation. Within your presentation, you had made reference to your commitment to diversity and equity. We appreciate that. Do you have any data related to past presidents or CEOs that you have worked with, the represented groups that they come from?
Yes, we do. Candidates that we placed an optional survey and our
Julie, we're having a hard time hearing you.
Oh, thank you for letting me know. I will project. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay, good. For women and candidates of color, our placement record is over 54%.
Thank you.
Next question. Okay, that looks like Julie Ellsworth Baker.
Hi, Julie Ellsworth Baker for the record. Thank you for the presentation. I did have a question about your structure. So you have consultants, I would imagine, across the country. And how are those assigned for a particular search? Was this having to do with regional, that Deborah lives in the state, or are there other parameters used sort of in the structure for who would be working most closely on the search?
Sure. It's a combination of factors, geography being only one of those factors. We're really careful to be sure that our consultants never have more than 2 to 3 searches on their plate at any given time. These are high touch, high energy. They take a lot of time. So we're really mindful of that. Right now, Debbie is not working on a single other search for ACCT. I think that is a huge factor. Geography plays a factor. And also, Debbie has worked on executive searches for comparable institutions. Debbie, did you want to add to that?
And I do think when I was asked to do this search, part of the reason I really wanted to do it was geography. I like Nevada, and I know a lot of the kids here that are choosing to go on to college, and you know, I want to make sure we have the best. So yeah, that's a part of it. But also, when I started, I actually met Karen on, I was working with a college, and she did an accreditation visit, and so I felt like I had like a personal interest too in ensuring that you have a next president who can carry on the work that is going so well at the college. And then I came from a college that had a very, very much of an emphasis on workforce and transfer. And so I really feel strongly that that's, our community colleges have to serve both, and our students have to have the choices, and we have to work with our communities. And seems like you guys are doing such a good job at that. I wanted to make sure that the next president that you get keeps all of that focus. So those were reasons that I wanted to do.
Thank you.
And next question is Regent Arascada.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On page 4, you list an impressive network of 16,500 community college leaders, which is a great network. However, what and where are your primary advertising locations?
Sure. The advertising is really a multifaceted approach in order to build a strong, diverse, tailored, competitive candidate pool. That list is our proprietary blast that goes out electronically through email, letting our network know. There are the standard givens for any firm for any search, the Chronicle, Inside Higher Ed, those national publications. But the most impactful, most effective tool is the one-to-one confidential recruiting. I study who's invited for semifinalists in our candidate pool. So what I like to look at is the 8 or 10 that are invited for first-round interviews, and I ask myself, did they find out about the search? And typically about half of that group, the most competitive candidates in the pool, were actively recruited. The best candidates do not respond to ads these days.
And the other way that we get really good candidates to apply is through the sitting presidents. We ask the people that are sitting presidents, who is ready? Who do you feel at your college is ready for that next step? And we will reach out to them, and some of them may not have been thinking that they were ready for that, but when somebody says that they think they are, then they start to really, really, you know, look at opportunities. But the most important thing is what we've said all along. The candidate has to want to work at the college for the reasons you want the candidate to come to work at the college. So there has to be a congruency of what they're looking for and what you are looking for. And that's what we personalize the emails to. This is what TMCC wants, and we send it to people who have indicated or have been referred to us as having an interest in working at a college that wants that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question. Mr. New.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jim New for the record. Regent Arascada read my mind because I had a very similar question about the network. I realize that's a sizable network, there are individuals in the network that you're probably already familiar with. How do you go outside of the network to find applicants that may be a good fit for this position?
Sorry.
Julie, we can't hear you again. It muted.
Okay, I will try this and I will be sure to continue to project. That response is really based on...
Julie, we can't hear you. I'm sorry, but we can't hear you.
It's muted.
My apologies. How about now?
Loud and clear.
Good, good. So the response is really dictated by your profile, what we hear from the committee, what we hear on campus. So in other words, when we visit a college and is noted in the profile that there is an interest in reaching out to not other nonprofit leaders, government, industry, military, whatever the given university, of course, whatever the given background is that a current institution desires, that influences our recruitment strategy. But if a college is open and wants to see individuals from non-traditional backgrounds, we believe it is important that that is reflected in the profile. Debbie.
And the biggest way, again, is every time we have a communication with a potential candidate, we ask, are there any other people that you think we should reach out to? And we ask at the college, is there anyone that we should reach out to? And we especially look at nearby institutions or similar institutions in makeup and areas of emphasis for recommendations for candidates. As Julie said, the best candidates often come from personal recommendations that this person is someone that you should reach out to.
Madam Chair, may I ask a follow-up?
Certainly.
Thank you. Well, and I guess what I'm trying to wrap my head around is you've got 16,500 people, individuals in the network. What percentage of public colleges and universities in the United States does that represent? And what type of individuals are we talking about? Because you're an organization for the trustees, which is a different level than the CEO. And so I'm just wondering if among those 16,500, are these the campus executives? Are they vice presidents or are they members of the governing board? Can you break that down for us?
Sure. These are not trustees.
Okay, thank you.
These are all CEOs of community colleges throughout the country. We also hear on a weekly basis from individuals within all sectors that say, ACCT, please keep me on your radar. Let me be part of your network. So it is an open network, but it's a primary group are cabinet members within community and technical colleges throughout the country.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sorry we didn't understand that question from the start.
I didn't understand it myself, so.
Okay. Who else would like to ask a question? We have almost 4 minutes. Craig Madol?
This is Craig Madol for the record. I noticed on your presentation that you had among possible expenses that you specifically consider regional and local advertising for potential candidates. Is that something you would recommend, and how would you go about helping identify those local and regional candidates and vetting them and moving them forward in the process versus the national portion?
Julie, there's no sound now.
Is local and regional candidates are keeping an eye on national publications.
Julie, we didn't hear that answer. Debbie? I'm sorry.
That's okay. Debbie, why don't you take it?
The ACCT works with the college to ensure that that it's advertised locally, regionally. All the publications that that people who are looking for jobs in higher education, community college education, will look, and we recommend to the college, especially places where we might not traditionally have advertised for to ensure diverse candidates get the word on the opening. For example, historically black colleges and universities and Hispanic serving institutions, we try to make sure that we get the word to diverse candidates through those. As stated before, though, that we work with the college to make recommendations for where the advertisement should occur, and the college makes the final decision on where that their advertising dollars are spent. Is that, Julie, does that cover it?
Yeah, and if you can hear, the one piece I wanted to add is that your local and regional candidates are going to be looking in national publications. So I'm just not sure it is the best use of resources. Some colleges automatically do it by practice. But does it really draw the best candidates? I would lean towards a no, because your competitive candidates are looking at national publications.
We have time for one more question. One more question. It's our student leader, Emery.
Hi, for the record, Emery Betry. So do you guys at all pull, like if they're a really good candidate, do you guys pull from other competitive pools that you guys have used before?
Absolutely, absolutely. That is a piece of the puzzle. Boards can only select one leader, and there are often great, great candidates that don't get selected. So we certainly use other comparable candidate pools to help influence our recruitment decisions. Debbie?
Yes, and absolutely we do that. And we establish relationships with candidates who have applied for jobs. And as Julie said, they're great candidates, but maybe they didn't get the job the first time that they applied, but they will say, as Julie said earlier, please keep me on the list and let me know if there's an opportunity that you think I will be interested in. I have my own list of candidates that, you know, I've worked with in the past on searches who are looking for their next step as a president, and I reach out to them individually as well as the other consultants who work for ACCT. We make sure they all know this is an opportunity, and if you know of anyone, please get this word to them. And we all do that for each other because all of us want the best candidate to be considered for the job. We want TMC to get a candidate who is going to come and stay and lead the college, and you all are going to love this person, and they are going to love being at TMCC. That's our goal.
Okay, thank you so much. Your time is up. And with that, we're going to take a break, and let's come back to our seats and begin again at 10:30, please.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you. Okay, we will go on now to our third and final presentation, and it's Gold Hill Associates, and I welcome Dr. Dennis Michaelis. It's not spelled how it looks, but it's Michaelis. Thank you.
I guess it's still morning, so I'll say good morning, and thank you all for the opportunity to be here. I appreciate being asked to come make a presentation to this august group. The Gold Hill Associates is a small firm. We have like six consultants. The only, and I'm certainly not a permanent staff person. The six consultants are all retired community college presidents. A fellow named Bob Berenger started Gold Hill Associates back in 1990 because he thought there needed to be an alternative for boards to be able to have an option as far as who would help them with the search process. Bob started the firm out with the idea that it would be community college presidents only. And what's happened over the years is that we have been asked increasingly to do vice chancellor's positions and do searches for vice presidents and campus presidents of larger systems and that sort of thing. And so our firm has changed a little bit. Preston Pulliams did a couple of searches for Bob while he was still in good health. And Bob passed in 2017. And Preston purchased the firm from him because he was in bad health and was ready to sell in 2016. We still do, all we do are community college searches. And all of our consultants, search consultants, were certainly not full-time employees. In fact, I guess you could say that Preston is probably the only full-time employee that Gold Hill Associates has. These are some of the primary consultants we have right now. Preston is the president of our firm, of Gold Hill. Walt Nolte is a retired president from Casper College in Wyoming. He does a lot of the Western United States. And geography does enter into it as far as ease of travel and not, you know, elevating the cost that is incurred by the college. Kate Hetherington is the newest consultant we have. She retired in Maryland. And in about a year or so ago, and Dr. Kathy Haney Brown is just now retiring as president of Whatcom Community College, and she has done searches in the last few years for Gold Hill. These are some of the colleges that we've done searches for over the years, and one of them that's missing from this that we simply haven't put updated, I guess you could say, this slide more recently is we did the chancellor search for Austin Community College, the chancellor's position there, and that president that they hired was at Amarillo College as president, which was the winner of the Aspen Prize and a very highly recognized president. And so, you know, it was easy to see why Austin wanted to bring him in. And the reality is this just happens to be the day that they are interviewing the second finalist for Amarillo College, and we're doing that search. We're just now concluding that search. But as you know, and this also mentions Lone Star College, which is in Texas. They have around 90,000 students. They have 8 campuses, and each of those campuses have campus presidents. And I personally have done, I think, 5 of their campus president position searches for them. And just to tell you, because this was mentioned in one of the other searches, and we did not put in, and not saying we would have gotten the search, but ACCT, you noticed, did the search for Lone Star College for the chancellor's position when Steve Head left there. Well, The reason we didn't even put in an application or a proposal for that was because of just the ethics of it, or maybe I picked the wrong word there, but just for he did not want to be in a position of competing with the same campus pool, the same kind of pool, because you know, people interested in positions in Texas, in Austin, a large community college with multi-campuses, and Lone Star, a large college with several campuses, a lot of the same people would be interested in those positions. And so we didn't even put in an application or a proposal for that search just because we didn't want to be in any kind of a conflict with those folks. As far as experience of Gold Hill, there's no question about it. I listened to the other two presentations, and we're the little guys as far as the search firms are concerned that you're interviewing today. We're small, but our results are not small. They're anything but small. I think we've been very successful, and we simply are not at scale as far as AGB or ACCT. So, you know, it really is a decision that may or may not have an impact on, but I think our results have been very good. I listed just four different colleges here that where we've had successful searches. We've completed 50 searches from 2019 to 2024, and these are some of them that we've done in that amount of time. You'll notice College of Southern Nevada is on that list. I have done several searches over the last, I can't remember how many years it is, but it probably 6 or 7 years, and those are all obviously Dr. Zaragoza has been there up until recently, and we did several vice president positions, most recently the vice president for student services there, but there were probably 5 or 6 of those searches that we did. So we are, and I in particular am somewhat familiar with Nevada and with the INCHI and the way, you know, the differences that you see in this state and in the colleges here. There's been a lot of talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. I think we have a record of success over these last 5 years that I mentioned. Of those 50 searches, 45% of them were female. 30% of them were persons of color. And as we look back over those 5 years, the retention rate is at 85%. In other words, now at different years, from the 2019 forward, the retention rate has been pretty strong. This is an important slide, and it looks, and for one thing, I want to recognize that there's a mistake in this slide. It should not say Board of Trustees, and it was just an oversight, and I apologize for that. We realize this is a Board of Regents, of course, but one of the things that we really try to emphasize as a hallmark of our firm is that we are flexible, and we want to make sure that that everyone knows this is your search. It is not our search. We are there. We're here if you select us to help you get the best person for this position that you can possibly get. We realize that we are simply an advisory role, and we work very hard to make sure that everyone is well aware that just because we have done a search or searches in a certain way doesn't mean that we need to do it that way for your search. we try to make sure that it is custom fitted for this particular situation. So even though I've done searches for CSN, I realize that Truckee Meadows is a very different college, and I think that's what's important about developing the position profile and about collecting information from the community, from your faculty and staff, as far as what you're actually looking for. And let me mention something about that. I really think that that a lot of times there's a tendency to get sidetracked by the idea that we have we've done this search and we have five people who were identified, or three people who were interviewed as the finalists. Only one person got that job. There were two people who didn't get it. It doesn't become automatic with us, and I'm not saying anyone else does it that way, but it just does not become automatic for us that the people who didn't get that position are going to be finalists for the next job. And the reason is this is a different position than the previous one. I mean, because every community is different. And so that's why I'm saying about the difference between Truckee Meadows and CSN is that it's not the same kind of situation. It's not the same college. And so finally, what I would point out, though, is that all of the decisions are up to the Board of Regents. And it's not our search, it's yours. And so we are flexible to the extent that we have ways that we do certain things. But it's not, you know, cast in stone. Our strategies, the fourth one, here, talking about a competitive compensation package, frankly, it shouldn't be number four. It should be number seven, probably, because I think that comes quite a ways into the process. First of all, we want to make sure that the college is ready for a successful CEO search and that you know what you're looking for. Because a lot of times it's quite different than what you've had. In other words, you're not necessarily looking for someone to replace the person who has been in the position beforehand. I'll show you a slide here in a minute about timeline, but that's extremely important as far as developing a timeline is concerned, to make sure that that the person is in place. When you start it is not all that terribly important, but when you, you know, if you really need to have someone by the end of May so that they can start in July, that is really important. Obviously, you need to define the college's primary challenges and opportunities. And now number five, I want to talk a little bit about, because I think we're different than a lot of firms are in the application process. And the way I understand it, what the board, what the outline is, that we will receive all the applications because of the open meetings law. And we will receive all the applications. In other words, those applications, if we're selected, would come to dennis@goldhillassociates.com. And all of the applications would come. And then I forward those to Preston Pulliams as well. So both of us would have access to who is applying for these for this position. But one of the things that makes us different, I think, than some, is that all we ask for from an applicant to have a valid application is for a cover letter and for a resume. And, in fact, we do not ask for references. We don't ask for transcripts. And I don't know what other firms do, but I over the years I've had the impression that references are requested, you know, from from the beginning. The reason we don't do that is that we think that it eliminates a lot of really good candidates, potential candidates for your position, because if you ask for references with the initial application, what it does, it signals that person that they're going to have to go talk to their supervisor, which in most cases, if they're not a president already, if they are a president, they have to go talk to a board member. If they're a vice president, they have to go talk to their president. And there are a lot of presidents who don't appreciate having a vice president who is out applying for other jobs. They see it as a sign of disloyalty. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, people should be encouraging for their people to progress upwardly in their careers. But so all we ask for then is a resume and a cover letter. And frankly, we usually, and we're flexible on this, but we usually say a 4-page cover letter and a 6-page resume, because the experience has been there are a lot of times people have cookie-cutter applications, and they have a 32-page resume that, I mean, every word they've ever written was turned into an article, and any time they spoke at the Rotary Club, that went into the resume. And honestly, our attitude is you do not need references. If you get 50 applications for this position, you don't need 50 sets of references. And you don't need, for darn sure, you don't need 50 different transcripts. Those kinds of things obviously come later, and they're important to it, to the process. But not up front. The timeline I mentioned a little while ago, what we said initially was that mid-December, but obviously that's not going to happen now. But sometime in January, the whole profile thing needs, and everything really revolves around putting that profile together. And as I said, you can still end up in mid-May. We too have the same kind of guarantee on the search. If someone leaves within the first year, we redo the search with no fee other than, you know, travel expense and that sort of thing. Our fee is $50,000. There are other expenses that go along with that, as I'm sure you know, travel expense of myself and email blasts. One of the things we do is we send an email blast at the very beginning of the search. That's really kind of the announcing part of the whole thing. Here's what you can expect from Gold Hill. We have very diverse applicant pools. It just happens. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the owner of our firm is a person of color, and it's just second nature for us to, and I'm 40 seconds ahead of time. Any questions?
Thank you so much, and we'll open it to questions now, and we have 15 minutes for questions. Yes, oh gosh, our student leader is starting first.
Hi, for the record, Emery Betre. So I understand that you guys only require like a 6-page resume and a 4-page cover letter. How do you guys dictate that, if that's good enough, and like if a candidate is good from those without a reference and are good for our school?
In other words, what you're asking is, how can we make sure we have good candidates without having references? Well, I think that what you go on primarily before you get to the point, before you get to the point of getting it narrowed down, you have to look at the qualifications, the experience that they have. And for example, you're going to have to decide whether you want a person with an earned doctorate. Now, I'm guessing that that's kind of an absolute for you, but in some cases it's not. In some cases, there's a preference for internal candidates. Okay? But when you get to narrowing it down to, in our proposal, Preston talks about 15 to 20 candidates out of the, and it depends on how many people, apply for the position initially. I would guess that this, and it just depends on time of year. I think this one, this search would probably be more like 35, 40, 45, maybe 50 applications. What I can tell you is that just from looking at their resume, you can pretty much tell whether they're going to be qualified for the position. And it's at that point that you begin doing reference, taking a look at references. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And Madam Chair, am I able to do a follow-up question?
Certainly.
And how's the background check for that? How's the process for those candidates when you guys start to narrow that down?
Well, okay. As far as background checks concerned, I mean, there are two ways to look at background checks. Okay, one of them is criminal background check. Another is financial, and usually that's done by HR at the college or by the system, because they have a lot easier access to gaining that, and they're a lot more accustomed to doing that on a routine basis. Now, we can do it, and obviously do a lot of the background checking, as it's needed, but. We don't go to a lot of unnecessary expense if you can handle it. The same goes for developing the profile. You have perfectly good people in public information, marketing, kinds of positions here at TMCC. And they have access to all the photos that you would want to include in a brochure, for example. They have all the information about this community. What are the attractive places, things about this community? And so there are different kinds of background checks is what I'm getting at. And most of the work there that's done is really kind of up to the college and the system to decide if they want us to go to that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, next question. Clara?
Thank you so much. You did a great job. I was going to actually ask that, so great job. I wondered if you could share a little bit more detail. You provided the diverse applicant pool. And you spoke a little bit about that. You specifically said one of the first things that you as an organization would do is the email blast. What else would you do besides that? Can you speak a little to the process
of
what that looks like? Thank you.
Absolutely. We have a list that long of publications and media contacts, that sort of thing, that move toward the diversity, help ensure the diversity of the candidate pool. And but it goes without saying, I think, that you do the Chronicle and Inside Higher Ed. But one of the things that that we have learned over the last several years is that people who are looking for a job, they don't even take the print edition of the Chronicle anymore. And that's just... It's like, how do people read the New York Times? They read it online, pretty much. And it's the same way, I think, with this, with advertising the position. And so I think a lot of money is sometimes spent on print publications that is unnecessary money. But we have a long list that that we send the position profile to them, and the attendant expense is there, but it's not as expensive as putting it in the print publication. Does that answer your question?
Yes. May I have a follow-up, please, Madam Chair?
Certainly.
Is in terms of what you just answered, though, I'm just wondering, is the $50,000, is that inclusive, then, of all advertising?
No.
Okay. I'm just wanting to get that clarification. I wasn't
no, well, clear the, on that. It's, but now, it, a certain amount of it, yes. The obvious, you know, like the Chronicle and Inside Higher Ed, I think those are essential. And all the other publications, you talked about the local, you know, and that's really discretionary to the particular college, you know, and it really kind of depends on what you want. So, no, there are attendant expenses. Obviously, in that $50,000 doesn't have consultant travel. The email blast is now. I will tell you that we don't have the, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of you know, of people in a database, but we have used the Higher Education Directory, and what we do is we get specific information, email addresses from them, and we will ask specifically for Vice President for Instruction, Vice President for Student Services, Vice President for Finance and Administration. But, you know, there are some Vice President positions that the next logical step is not into a President's position necessarily. And so I don't think you need to pull all the vice presidents at all the community college. What are there, 1,200 community colleges, I think, in the country? And you don't need 1,200 of, I mean, nothing, I'm, you know, there are some positions that just a natural flow into the president's position is not in some of those positions.
Thank you.
Okay. Excuse me. Yvonne, did you have a question?
No.
Oh, Mindy, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Mindy Elliott. I'm trying to understand the slide that talks about your retention rate. You have an 85% retention rate, but is that as 85% of the 45%? That you have 30% of color, is it 30% and the 45%?
No.
I'm trying to understand what your retention rate
is. Those are three separate statistics. Of all the placements, you know, in that five-year period, 85% of them are still there.
Okay.
And it, but no, it doesn't. I mean, the gender, I mean, you know, those persons of color, those things, those are separate statistics.
But they're built into the 80, a follow-up question, thank you. But they're built into the 85% number.
Right.
Okay, I was just trying to distill that.
No, I understand
that. That slide. Follow-up? So I am curious, because one of the, in your presentation, how do you know what TMCC, what's going to be best for the college as far as a new CEO president? I didn't quite understand the process of how you're going to get to what we need here.
Well, I think the survey that's being done is a big step. One of the things that's been mentioned is having the community forums, the face-to-face meetings in the community. One thing I know about that, and I've been through a bunch of them, is that if they are not properly advertised, if they are not properly publicized, the attendance gets very sparse, I guess is the best way to put it. In other words, you have to work at getting a good turnout for those community forums to get feedback. Otherwise, I mean, you can, and I mean, obviously, you want to find out from faculty and staff, you know, what they're thinking. But you also want to find out from community if you can. If there are other ways of doing it, I think that's the way you go.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Anybody else? Oh, yes, Regent Arascata.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Andriola somewhat took my question, but on page 11 under fees and expenses, the president's search fee is at $50,000. And I understand that's a base rate. It's somewhat ambiguous. What are some of the ancillary charges that we're looking at? So you're looking at travel?
I would say the main things would be the main things would be the travel, and we estimated that at, I mean, because I've traveled here, you know, to Nevada a number of times over the last several years. And it depends on how many trips you would need me to be here for. And so I estimated that at $4,500. The email blast we figure at around $1,500.
Okay.
And so I think the whole number, when you put it together, is brings it up to 58 or 59.
So when you're referring to an email blast, are you regarding recruitment and of a national recruitment?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's definitely, and that's why we use the higher ed directory. Now, what we would do is, I mean, what we will specifically, you know, tailor make it to this area. Obviously, west of the Mississippi, there's going to be more interest, I would guess. But there are a lot of states where there are a lot of community colleges. Florida is one of them. North Carolina is another one of them. Michigan. There are, you know, so you want to make sure that you're getting the right people. And it's not expensive to add, you know, a lot more expensive than what I just identified.
And regarding the getting the right people comment, what are the primary advertising locations that you'd be looking at?
Well, as I said, the diversity-focused publications, mostly virtual, and the higher Inside Higher Ed and Chronicle are really focused to that. And LinkedIn has been mentioned, and I think that's is another source that's, you know, that's obviously worth looking.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we have time for one quick question. Anybody? You have one? No? Okay. Well, we thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Michaelis.
Oops. With that, we're going to go on to item number 5. This is a possible action item. And the way this will work, we will discuss our comments on the three different presentations and who we feel would be the best for TMCC. And we will start with the advisory committee, then we'll ask the regents that are on Zoom, and then we'll go to the regents on the committee, and from the regents on the committee, we'll look for a motion, and then we'll have a vote. So I will start with Ms. Allen over here, and your thoughts on who would be the best, please.
Thank you very much. The ACCT search firm floats to the top of my mind. I really appreciate that it's a nonprofit. It's an organization that we know a lot of folks that are involved with. They know and I feel have an appreciation for the state of Nevada as well and for community colleges. So I do feel this is a bit of a Goldilocks situation, specifically with these three. There's one that may be a little bit too robust, one that may be a little small, and it feels to me like ACCT feels just about right.
Okay, thank you, and we'll just go down the line.
Thank you, Claire Andriola, for the record. I too am leaning for ACCT. I think it is helpful that it appears that Ms. Debbie DeThomas would be the person that would, well, as was disclosed, she doesn't have any other candidates, at least. I'm not suggesting they committed that she won't, but at this time she didn't. And so leading that, she's here in Nevada. I think the fact that they, as my esteemed colleagues here said, they're a nonprofit, they're committed, they have a long history of community colleges. I do think that AGB offered a lot as well, and I think, you know, the fact that the small but mighty Gold Hill Associates really has a well-versed group of retired presidents of community colleges is an asset. But when all is said and done, I'm looking at ACCT. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, for the record, I'm Ray Betre. So I am also in favor for ACCT search as well. I just appreciate that if it really does come down to it, and they find a candidate that's really good for our college, they are willing to go back into those other pools that they are familiar with. And one thing that really struck out to me that they had said in the beginning of their presentation was that they are committed to finding someone that is going to, that will learn the community and everything that we stand for, which I find very, very important because TMCC has so many fundamentals. And although a president and a good leader would be good for a school, it would be very important that they still carry on these traditions and everything that we do stand for and our values as a college. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, to Estella.
Estella Gutierrez for the record. First of all, Chair, all three are excellent choices. Thank you so much for all the background work. So, I, too, am leaning towards the ACCT just by experience, the focus on community college, just the fact that it appeared that they had already built their profile with regards to TMCC. They were more vocal on that. I do really like the first firm as well, AGB. They have a little bit higher retention. I like the diversity portion of that. However, I really like the fact that Debbie would be on board and she knows Nevada, and we're very unique here in Nevada. And just by experience, I think with regards to fit, I would say ACCT.
Okay, thank you. And to you, Mr. Meisner.
Yeah, David Meisner for the record. Again, I thank all three for coming. Thank you guys for putting this together. The big boy on the block, AGB, the most expensive, but also appears to have a much wider reach. I'm not sure that ACCT is the best fit. I do like them. I am glad that they are familiar with Nevada, but is that what we're after? I mean, we mentioned people coming in and learning about it, or do we want somebody who is already in a community? Do we want somebody who understands the value of a community? I'm not sure. So, I mean, for me, it's a very hard decision between AGB and ACCT. They both are very competitive. They're both right there. They have pros and cons on each other. I just feel that the AGB search would be a much larger search. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. And Jim, New?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jim New for the record. Yes, it's a good problem to have three qualified candidates for this.
However, I'm going to echo some of the things my colleague, Mr. Meisner, just said. I feel that AGB gave us the most robust presentation, the most detailed description of the process. And I feel that their presentation will also translate into their performance on behalf of us in the search process. I realize that they are not the most economical of the three presenters. However, I sincerely appreciated the response that they would ensure that the candidate selected would be fits for TMCC and not just selected from the pool that they currently have available, that they would go out of their way to ensure that the choices that they put forward before the chair and the regents, as well as this committee, will be custom fits for TMCC. So my vote would go to AGB. Thank you.
Thank you. And Councilman Martinez?
Thanks so much, Madam Chair. Appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for the work to get us these three very competitive search firms. I think they all did a great job of explaining their processes. I do concur with Mr. New that we have a tough, we don't have a problem here. We have a great problem to be in, and I think that just based on what I heard today, and with ACCT being a nonprofit, for me they edged out AGB a little bit just because it seemed like they were more, I mean, the first slide, right, they said that they were, we are deeply, quote, we are deeply vested in your success. We are your membership organization and will be your partner long after the search concludes. And so that commitment to me just demonstrates a little bit more of a personal endeavor and a personal investment to make sure that we make the right choice. So it was a close call for me, but I think ACCT edges out just a little bit.
Okay, thank you. And let's see, that's I can't read it from here. It's
Andy Hughes.
I don't know you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Yeah, for the record, Andy Hughes. ACCT rose to the top primarily due to their commitment to collaborate with the campus to help us select the next leader to keep us doing our good work and moving us on our trajectory. So ACCT was my number one pick. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Ms. Stewbaker?
Thank you. I do believe that AGB and ACCT were fairly close. They, in my mind, fit different needs that we have here at the college for this type of recruitment. I would ultimately agree with Mr. Meisner and Mr. New that I believe that AGB has a higher level of sophistication. Conducting these type of searches is to some degree scientific, and it creates a lot of internal work that we would not necessarily see that I've experienced with other search firms. And I feel that AGB established that they would be able to conduct the search in a more professional, widespread fashion that we need here at the college. Again, it is the more expensive choice, but that would be my vote. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And we'll go on to Craig Madol.
Thank you, Craig Madol, for the record. I, too, think that ACCT was the would be my primary choice. I appreciated that they stressed the necessity of background checks and confidentiality. I think regionally we've seen numerous stubbing of toes with regional hires that we probably wish we would have been a little more diligent in those processes. And to me, that was one of the big decision points.
Thank you. With that, to Mr. Estepona.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Edward Estepona for the record. For me, I think it's also ACCT. I like that they were the Goldilocks, kind of like in the middle. The larger firm, I get the sense a little bit in hearing how these presentations, this is the first time I've ever been to one of these, is that they have a very formulaic way of doing it. I'm in the private sector, and nothing, formulas are made to be broken and should be broken every day. And I think education is one of those places that formulas has taken a long, so taking a long time to break some of these formulas, and we're starting to see it now because the workforce has been constrained. And it's trying to ask us, how do we produce workers faster? And I worry that when we go to something that's so formulaic that we aren't getting and looking at something different. And that's why I did like Gold Hill approach. I felt like what they lacked was the depth of services behind them that could support some of their thoughts. I do like that approach. I do like the approach even of, I don't want to see your references, honestly, because I don't want to risk in danger of you. I want to see if you are the candidate, and when I decide you're the candidate, then yes, I will ask for references and we'll go down that path. But I don't want to risk anything, and I want to make sure we bring out the most candidates without fear of retribution, and understanding that a lot of these colleges in nature and just higher ed has some political kind of structure to them that's a little sensitive. Are we going to get a person that, oh, yeah, I don't want this person. Let's push them up so that they leave our school because it's harder for us to leave, or do I want them to leave? So these things are, you know, again, that's why I say let's not look at the formulas, because I think these formulas have been around for a while, and I think there's an opportunity now to look at it, and maybe even if we do select ACCT, to look at some of the things that Gold Hill was doing and saying, how do we customize what we do with ours, and looking at that. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Julie?
Hi, Julie Ellsworth-Baker for the record. I thought the AGB presentation was the best, most complete presentation I could envision. The steps of the process, I appreciated their clear timeline. I think they would have the widest reach. AACT was next for me in presentation, and I do think some of what I felt was lacking in the presentation came through in the questions at the end that they were able to address. I just do think that the wider reach and the maybe depth of resources with AGB, would be my top pick.
Okay, thank you. And Ginger?
Thank you very much. Ginger Doe for the record. For me, it was very close between AGB and ACCT, but AGB just edged them out a little bit for reasons that have been said, but their history, their retention and success, and their ability, I believe, to cast a wider net than we saw with ACCT, though I did appreciate a lot of ACCT and their familiarity with NG specifically. Madam Chair, is it all right if I give the input from Ms. Orthel Clark since she had to leave?
Yes, she had said she's in class teaching.
Yes.
About that. But she was here for all the presentations.
She was.
Yes, she was. So, yes, please, please share that.
So, Haley Orthel Clark's recommendations, she appreciated Gold Hill Associates the most because of their familiarity with ENSHE, as well as them being exclusively tailored to community colleges. Her next choice was AGB and then ACCT. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And with that, we'll go to Tina Ruff, Dr. Ruff.
Hi, Tina Ruff for the record. Great job on your choices. Just for me, I'm going to say ACCT. I love that they're a nonprofit, extremely familiar, large network. And I also, being here and being at other institutions, I look at cost. And I think that's important. I did like AGB. I thought they were a very, very close second. So thanks.
Juana Reynosa Gomez for the record. I would say that ACCT was the top presentation for me. As my colleagues have already stated, they did a very thorough, well-done presentation that flowed and was able to give me the visual picture of how this process would work with a timeline, and it just flowed. I do really like that they have high touch, and over the last 5 years, 63% of the permanent search appointments have been women and or underrepresented groups, including 47% of their appointments as presidents, which was really the deal breaker for me as I sit here and represent some of the committees that are under me and the voices and folks that, sit on those committees. So I would say, I'm sorry, not ACCT, AGB is my top. I'm so sorry. Okay, AGB is my top. So everything I said was AGB. I just felt like they have a higher reach. I'm sorry, it's early. Not early still. It's been a long week. Okay. So yeah, AGB is my top choice for all those reasons. ACCT would be my second, and then Gold Hill is my third. Thank you.
Thank you. Mindy?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I was confused because I'm going, well, this is why I like AGB. Well, I was almost, well, this is why I like AGB. So for all the discussions that have taken place, when I looked at the three, I could almost see when AGB was talking the SWOT analysis that they were doing and have done, looking at our strengths, our weaknesses, our opportunities, and our threats. And I could almost envision that they're going to systematically identify the candidates that would be a good candidate pool for the campus. ACCT would be number two. Gold Hill, I wrote folksy. Just really nice. But I do think that AGB, what impressed me the most was their ability to the candidate pool will be very diverse, very broad, and I think the professionalism came across for me working with AGB. But I do very much appreciate all the work that went into getting these three because they really were excellent candidates. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, we'll go to our regents that are on Zoom, and I will start with you, Regent McMichael.
Yes, for me, I'm going to show my bias because I'm an ACCT trustee. I did listen to all three, and I come to the conclusion that ACCT is the one for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Regent Boylan, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was impressed by all the presentations and all the information in there, and I would go basically with AGB with their experience, etc. I think the other two were outstanding as well, but somehow AGB felt much better to me if we have to have a company doing the search for us. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Chair Carvalho, would you like to weigh in?
Thank you, Chair Del Carlo. I appreciate the opportunity to give my input. I liked all three of the presentations, and I appreciated the different approaches that they brought. I feel most strongly that AGB would bring the most diverse set of candidates to this committee, and so my pick would be AGB. Thank you.
Regent Perkins, are you still online? No. Any other regent online that I can't see? No? Okay. Thank you. So with that, thank you very much. And as you know, as an advisory member, you certainly have a voice, and I really appreciate you expressing it. But you don't have a vote, so I will now. But honestly, with all the committees I've been on, honestly, we do really listen to what you have to say. Because for you that are at TMCC, you're going to live with this person for a while. That contract's usually in 3 to 4 years, hopefully longer. And those of you that are community members, you're going to interface out in that community, and that's why you were selected to help. So we really do appreciate your input. And with that, I'll go to our committee, the five of us, and who'd like to start our discussion or motion? Well, we need to know who everybody wants, so let's start discussing. Regent Brown, you want to start?
Sure thing.
Bridget Brown for the record. I believe someone over here said and kind of took the words out of my mouth. So being an entrepreneur, I'm really always looking at what non, you know, status quo looks like. And if there is a third party that comes in to try and disrupt something, I'm always curious about it. But Gold Hill is 34 years old, not necessarily a startup yet, or, you know, still. And I think you said the best thing is that I like their approach, but it did seem like they lacked a depth of service behind their plans. And I think that that's something with a system our size and an institution like this with so much potential, I think it is important to have an organization and a search firm that will have all the ancillary support and a community for them to lean back on. And so looking back over my notes between AGB and ACCT and listening to the room, it was pretty divided. I think if I was tallying it correctly, we're one off. So this room is pretty split. And I tend to agree that AGB, even though the more expensive option, their contacts, their placement rate, and their plan and timeline all seem to match with what I was hoping to hear from today. So thank you.
Thank you, Regent Brown. Regent Brooks, I'm looking right at you.
Yes, you are, Chair. Thank you for the for the opportunity here to be on the committee and speak. Certainly, you brought forward three fantastic organizations. We can tell that with the room being split in terms of almost a coin toss between ACCT and AGB. I do agree with what I heard earlier about private being inside the private sector and looking for ways to disrupt what we know as a normal formula or a way things flow, particularly in higher education. And your statement of it being political is spot on. It's one of the most politically charged environments I've ever been in. Having said that, I could go either way with ACCT or AGB. I liked both of their presentations. I lean a little bit more towards ACCT only for the fact that the person conducting the search has roots in Nevada. And it's just so important from my perspective to have somebody who really understands the culture of this state, because it does operate in a very unique fashion. And certainly when we talk about legislative action and things that the system of higher education has to have support with, that certainly comes from Carson City. And I think there's just a great benefit to not only somebody being in Nevada to be able to support a search, but also look at hopefully candidates who are already here in Nevada. And so I think I just moved my coin toss and landed with ACCT for that reason. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you so much. Vice Chair Downs.
Thank you, Chair Del Carlo. I really appreciate the work that you and the others have done in selecting from 14 down to 3, and I'd say 3 really good search firms. Again, just to echo other people, the fact that the room is so split on this, it just goes to show. And I really appreciate all the advisory members' thoughtful comments and making decisions here, giving some advice. It's a tough one, and I think that they could all do the job. What edges out for me is the fact that we would have someone local in Vegas at least. So I'm going to go with ACCT. Thank you. Oh, and I do want to reiterate my disclosure still in the record. So thank you.
Thank you so much. And Vice Chair of the Committee, Regent Arascata.
Thank you, Chair Del Carlo. Couple items. Yes, AGP and ACCT were the ones who rose to the top. I really appreciated AGB's statement regarding contacting passive candidates. And cold call, well, not necessarily, they didn't say it, but cold call individuals qualified for the position of president. ACCT, under the recruitment of National Network, with 16,500 community college leaders, but joining sentiments of my peer to the right, it is a coin toss. And AGB is nearly $30,000 more than ACCT, and I feel we're still going to get the same bang for our buck. Hence, I'm going to go with ACCT.
Okay. I think we're ready for a motion.
Well, I just had a comment.
Okay, you have a comment?
Regent Brown, for the record. I heard some people say, well, we have somebody who's local, and I don't want to be nitpicky, but when the speaker was talking about their experience in Southern Nevada, they mentioned the Green Valley School District. We don't have a Green Valley School District, which is not bad. I just, when I heard it, I don't know how ingratiated you are in the actual community. So I just, it's fine, and I wanted to share that because I am excited that we would have, if this is where we go, which sounds like this is what the committee wants, I just wanted to point it out.
Rita Bush, for the record, Chair, I'd like to make a motion to propose that we bring on ACCT as a search committee for the presidential search for TMCC.
Okay, got to make sure your motion's got everything we need in here. Enter the negotiate some contract. Is that an, or should we just read the motion?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Chris Nielsen, for the record. I believe Regent Brooks is on the right path, but I think if we incorporate as part of his motion to select ACCT to enter into negotiations with the system for a contract with the Board of Regents on behalf of TMCC.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'd like to restate the motion, and that is to select ACCT as the firm to enter into negotiations with the Nevada System of Higher Education for a contract with the Board of Regents on behalf of Truckee Meadows Community College to assist the committee in the performance of its search for a permanent president of TMCC.
That's a wonderful motion.
Second,
do we have a second?
Second the motion as stated.
Okay. Okay, can we have a roll call vote, please, Angela?
Chair Del Carlo.
Yes.
Vice Chair Arriscada.
Yes.
Regent Brooks.
Yes.
Regent Brown.
Yes.
Regent Downs.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Motion is approved unanimously. Awesome. And thank you for all three presentations. They were all excellent, and it just shows the caliber of what's out there. I mean, really, we had 14 amazing presentations, and it wasn't easy to make the selection, but we have to make it a reasonable selection for us. And I know that Commissioner Andriola at the break said something about a matrix, and that's exactly how I took those 14. I did a matrix. So she was asking for a future meeting. Maybe that's new business that we consider having a matrix or a rubric. Would you like to comment? Is it?
I don't want to break.
Yeah,
any
I
legal.
Think are we just so we're clear, Chair. We're on. Are we on new business number six?
No, we're not yet. Okay. So, well, let's go to new business. It's item number six for information only. New business. But can she make new business? She's not a member of the committee. Yeah, I can give you the floor.
I can save it to public comment.
Which do you prefer, Chris?
I think either way. These aren't really on for discussion or for suggestions. So
you got the floor.
Either way, it would be appropriate.
The danger of speaking to the chair during a break. So I certainly don't want to take up anybody's additional time, but I do have a lot of experience, and I do have a background in education and training, and I have spent years in that space and even in the classroom as an adjunct professor. So, and then doing evaluations like this are always difficult, and I also want to be able to state if I'm in the future, I want to be the last, because being the first, I didn't gather all my thoughts. But anyway.
Somebody's got to be first.
What I was sharing was I thought it would be really helpful. The regents and the committee have done a great job, everybody's echoed that, in terms of identifying what the priorities are for the search.
And then being able to articulate that in a measurable, tangible way would have been helpful. I'm just saying out loud. I was trying to write down as we were going through the presentation similar categories, similar things. But then I kept on thinking, is that really what they're wanting? Is that really the target and the alignment that you're looking for? And all I was sharing is it might have been helpful for all of the advisory members to have a target of what those categories are in order to stay in the spirit of what the ultimate goal is. So that's what I was really trying to say. I don't know if you need any additional information, but that's what I was... I just thought it would be helpful as an advisory member to have that and then to meet the objective of what you're looking for ultimately.
So thank you. I appreciate the input. And with that, Regent Brooks have a new business item.
Thank you, Chair. And I just want to preference this with a little bit of context. I would say that in the spirit of taking a look at our formulas and how we accomplish things and get things done, particularly when it comes to searches, if we take a look at where institutions sit, our largest, community college, if you will, is going to be CSN in terms of enrollment. That's about 30,000 students. If we take a look at TMCC, we're looking at roughly 11,000 students. And if you look at WNC, that's about 4,000 students, 4,500 students. And so with that in mind, a new business item would be for the committee and advisors to take a look at what would be the possibility of having conversations with President Dalpy to be able to do some work with both WNC and TMCC. And I say that because we have one president currently for CSN who is supervising 30,000 students. What this does is it saves money in lots of different areas. It saves money with the budget in terms of what it costs to do a search, and it saves money with salary in terms of what it costs to pay a president. And so as a new business item, I'd like to take a look at that, particularly because President Dalpy had spent about 16 years at TMCC and at one time was the acting president of the institution. So I think it's it'd be an interesting conversation to have. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anybody else? New business? Okay. With that, we'll go to our last item on our agenda, and that is public comment. Do we have any public comment at TMCC? Yes. Do you have the floor, Mr. Jim New?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jim New for the record, and I realize throughout the year you see me up at the public comment all the time for all of your meetings. This was a comment I was getting ready to make last week during the board meeting, but I realized we would have this meeting today. So I just want to say thank you for the work that you do, and I want to wish you all very happy holidays and a prosperous new year. I also want to extend my thanks to the SES and the staff, because when I described the heavy lift that you're undergoing for the three searches that are underway, I know that they're doing most of the lifting for all of us, and so their work is really appreciated. Wanted to recognize that. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Is there any public comment on the phone, SES?
There are no callers at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay. Oh, we have one more public comment, and this is Andy.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Andy Hughes, and I know I'm in front of everyone's lunch and holiday plans, but I just wanted to briefly say we've done a really elaborate ask of the campus, and it was decided that we wanted a national search. I think it's important for us to look nationally, and you'll find a lot of opposition to any sort of consolidating. It's a big job to run WNC. It's a big job to run TMCC. So my hope is that we follow the desires of the campus and go forward with a national search. Thanks.
Thank you. And before we adjourn, I just want to thank SCS for your support. You're always the best. And to our board staff, Carrie, Angela, and Winter. And if you didn't notice, TMCC graciously has gifted all of us a beautiful mug. It's got a nice pen in it that I've been using all through the meeting. And not only that, this nice book. So please make sure you take these home. They're for you from TMCC. And our next meeting, we'll let you know as soon as we get it scheduled. It will be in January of 2025. If you're wondering what the agenda is going to be, all you have to do is go on our board website and look at meeting archives and look at the College of Southern Nevada agenda for Friday, November 8th. So we're only one meeting behind them in the process, and you'll understand the process even a little bit better. And we'll let you know about that as soon as possible. And again, I want to thank everybody for their participation today. And I, too, want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. They say Happy Christmas in England, but we say Merry. A Happy Hanukkah. And I think Hanukkah and Christmas fall together this year, which is same day. That's double. First what?
First night of Hanukkah.
First night of Hanukkah is Christmas Day or Eve?
Christmas
Day. Christmas the 25th. And Happy Kwanzaa, and did I forget any other? Is that all the holidays? I'll make sure I'm diverse and respectful, and go out and have a beautiful day. Thank you.